Welcome to episode 1136 of the Geek News Central podcast. It's Thursday, August 11th. This show is sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com and listeners just like you. Great deals from GoDaddy can be found at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy, or you can support this show today at geeknewscentral.com/insider, or just simply paypal.me/geeknews. You can always pick up Ohana gear at cafepress.com/Ohana store. Hey, I want to give a warm, warm welcome to the Ohana, longtime listeners and viewers of the show. Thanks for being here. Sorry that I missed on Monday. We'll talk about that in a few minutes. But to get started off right today, I want to welcome all the new listeners to the show. If you're brand new to Geek News Central, this is your first time. We're glad to have you. And we definitely appreciate you taking some time to check the show out. But the most important thing, if you're a new listener, we want you to make sure to get over to geeknewscentral.com and visit the website so that you can get subscribed. And all you got to do is, basically on the right-hand column of the website, you can subscribe via iTunes, via Android, on one of the 13 supported podcast apps the show's aligned with. Of course, you can do it by email as well. If you want to go old school, just get an email reminder that the latest show is out. That'll come to you immediately following, well, a few hours after the show is up and online. On Google Play, on Stitcher, on TuneIn, of course, via standard RSS feed. If you have no idea what any of that means, click on the more subscription options. That'll take you over to a page that'll explain how to subscribe to a show. And if you want to really get dialed in, get hooked up, come down and sign up for the newsletter via the important links on the website. Basically, the newsletter contains everything I'm going to talk about during the podcast, all the links and all the information. That way you don't have to come to the website. It's just delivered to your inbox as well. So really lots of ways to get connected. And even further, we want you to be involved in being able to email the show via geeknews@gmail.com. Of course, you can follow me on Twitter @geeknews. And something new that we've got implemented is our Slack channel. We've got our Slack channel for all of our Ohana and for the insiders. And we've seen some people starting to trickle in slowly. But we want you to be part of our, basically, where we all can kind of hang out and chit-chat and share information and deals and all the stuff that happens in between shows. So send me an email to geeknews@gmail.com and say, add me to the Slack channel, and I'll send you an invite so that you get to join the rest of the Ohana there. We want you to do that. Of course, you can follow me on Google Plus or on Facebook just by searching for Todd Cochran. You can watch this show on the Roku, on the via the Tech Podcast channel on the Apple TV by subscribing to the Geek News Central podcast video feed. You can listen on Amazon Echo by telling Alexa to play the latest edition of this show name. Of course, you can listen on Stitcher. You can watch or listen on Blueberry.com. Don't want to forget our partner shows here. We got a great lineup of partner shows that lots of stuff, free content that you, or a lot of content that you can review. We've got the Pro Gear site at ProGear.Guru. We've got the Gadget Professor with Mr. Don Bain in this latest show where he reviewed something called the Steambot. Don keeps costing me money. And this latest edition, the Gadget Professor number 262, you're going to want to listen to this. It's very, very awesome. Of course, Health Tech Weekly with Mr. Jamie Davis. And of course, No Better Than Average with Jacob and Jeff. So definitely get tuned in over there. All these great shows, of course, are part of the Geek News Central family, and in return, we're part of theirs. So that's the best part. Of course, that's what you can do to stay up and connected with all the shows here. Of course, this show has the longest running continuous sponsor of any podcast known to man, and that, of course, this show is sponsored in part by our good friends over at GoDaddy.com. GoDaddy's been here producing great offers. We got the, or I say we, I got the July numbers. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for your support of this show. Absolutely tremendous. Nearly 200 of you took advantage of picking up either a GoDaddy hosting account or pick. Actually, that's the number I know for hosting. About 200 of you picked up hosting account, and 100 more plus picked up the means. So awesome. Absolutely. Thank you for your support. I definitely appreciate it very, very much. And again, thank you for supporting GoDaddy. But, you know, again, these deals continue with GoDaddy having a full lineup of promo codes that, and we're actually going to, there's a deal changing. And I've got to get it implemented after the show today. But what's going to happen, and it's not available on the website now, but the website builder deal, the $1 per month for 12 months, it's going away. Okay, fair warning here. It'll probably be off the website before you get to it after this is posted. But CJC, GNC, GOT, that code is going away. And in its place, they're going to give you a free 30-day trial. Basically, you go in, you sign up for the service, you get a full 30 days to check it out. No obligation whatsoever. That's going to be the new deal for the website builder. So I'll have that information up on the website here directly. But the 30% off and the 99cent.com and the $1 a month economy hosting with a free domain, a $1 a month managed WordPress hosting with a free domain, those still are there. They're still good. And all those codes will be continue to rock and roll, and we want you to use those. Lots of great stories coming out of content creators and folks that listen to this show, talking about business relaunches, talking about starting their own blogs, putting stuff together for a present, you know, basically family websites, you name it. And with all the new top-level domains, I mean, there's just literally 100 of them now. You can find a domain that fits what you want to do. .family, that's a big one right now. So, you know, we talked about that one when it came out. If you haven't picked up your .family domain, good time to lock it in before someone else has. If someone has already done it, it's a little too late, but you can, you know, maybe use a variation of words or something to that effect. You know, the something, you know, the surname .family. Lots of different ways you can mix that up. But lots of new top-level domains out there. You know, a key thing is like progear.guru. You know, that's a new top-level domain. So lots of options for you today. It's no longer impossible to find the right domain name for your business site idea. Really, there's something there for everyone. .show is a great one. So if you're thinking about doing a podcast, you can do the, you know, your podcast name .show. Lots of options. So definitely check those out over at GoDaddy. I want to thank GoDaddy for being a longtime sponsor here. Of course, again, we want to thank all of you for your long, long time support and making August or making July just booming. And again, from the bottom of my heart, thank you so much for your support and ongoing support as we're moving well into August here already. So anyway, let me go ahead and get in my little stack here and we get off of the introduction and promotion mode. And I just want to share with you guys, you know, we're family here, right? And families have family challenges at times. And Monday night was one of those family challenges. It started a little bit of a argument. Started over a piece of bread. And, you know, it's funny how certain things will just tip over the apple cart. So that led from one thing to another to another. You know, husbands and wives sometimes have brawls, and you know, verbal brawls, not physical brawls, we hope. You know, a war of words and discussions. And you know, I normally don't share you know, the inner workings here of my household and what, you know, what when we're having a little spat. But it was just best Monday after the dust settled for me not to, and I don't know if the dust is completely settled here. You know, ladies, you have this ability to drag things out for, you know, for a few days. You know, I'm I kind of get this Irish background. So when I get upset, it's like that. And it's 10 minutes over later, I'm done. And I'm ready to resume normal life, right? And but ladies, most of you are not like that. And I'm just, you know, we understand it. You know, it's just the way things work. So I'm not necessarily paying penance at this point, but things haven't completely calmed down here. But Monday, I was in no mood or shape or form to do a show. It would have came across, would have drug you guys down. You can laugh now. I wasn't laughing Monday. Yeah, it's been a while since I had one of those. And, you know, usually they have an off show nights, you know, but that was, bam, like 45 minutes before showtime, things went off like a nuclear weapon here for a little while. So that's, you know, we're family, so we won't go into full details, but you guys understand and appreciate you being patient with me. I think it's the first time in 12 years that I have had to cancel a show because of a spat. Yeah, I've had to deal with kids before shows and stuff like that, but it's the first time, you know, it was a little husband and wife getting into it. But anyway, that is resolved, I hope. I'll let you guys know on the Monday show how things are going here, but we're okay. Anyway, that's what's going on. That's why I missed the show, and my apologies, but better me to have a day or two to, I guess for better words, get my mind right and be back with you guys instead of coming and giving you a bad attitude, which would have, you know, that's never good. Thanks for being patient with me and not that you allowed me to miss, but I missed on Monday and not giving too much. And a bunch of you, I must have sensed it because I got no less than maybe a dozen emails, because I announced on Facebook there will be no show tonight. And everyone, I got some emails that were like, are you okay? Is everything okay? Is everything good? And is everything fine? And, you know, even Don called me the next day. Are you okay? What's going on? And it must have been the way I typed it must have, the emotions must have spilled through. And you know what it is? It's a roller coaster, right? I'm being married. You have great, 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 great. Things are fantastic, fantastic, fantastic. And then when it goes over the cliff and goes down, 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 and get to that bottom, and that's when you you kind of have this, a little bit of a mix up of words or whatever it may be, misunderstanding, and then in the climb out, right? I'm sorry, we're sorry, but you know, you're climbing back up, and then you're good, good, you're good, you're good, you're good. So you know, that's how I describe life. It's kind of a roller coaster of events and emotions and everything else. So I'm glad to be back with you guys in more peaceful territory. I can't emphasize enough this Slack thing. I think it's going to be good for all of us to hang out together. If you know, I want you to join our Slack list. I've sent an invite to all the insiders already. You've already gotten an invite, so check your email from me, geeknews@gmail.com. You guys are all, you know, putting in contributions, and we've got a number of folks are on the $25 a month plan, and I want, you know, thank you so much for that. But I want you all to come in, and you know, you don't have to participate every day, and just pop your head in there once a week and say hi or whatever. So again, I'll send you send me an email, geeknews@gmail.com, and let me know, invite me to Slack, and I'll use the email you sent to me or the one that you give me and send that invite, okay? Also, what's really odd is, you know, this show has had the same sponsor, you know, since 2005. And it's, you know, we've had a great run. And what is happening now is that, as I've talked about this more, publicly on the show, it's starting to resonate because I'm starting to get companies that are reaching out and wanting to advertise on the show. We sent out a... Hey, Ray, you want to answer that? So, phone's ringing here. And I'm doing the show early today, and the reason I'm doing that is my son has a orchestra meeting at the school at 6:30 Hawaiian time, which that was not going to allow me to be able to do the show on a regular time tonight. So I'm recording it. This is like noon my time. So that's, you know, the reason for that. But so anyway, I had some reach outs by companies, and I had to dust off the media kit. It hadn't really been aggressively going after any additional sponsors for the show. But when people call or when people write and say, hey, we want to see your media kit, I had to go in and update it and pull that information. So at some point here in the near future, we're probably going to run another audience survey. I need to update that. It's been a little while since we did one. And run another one of those and get everything fresh to make sure we know everyone's tracking demographic wise. You know, it hasn't changed very few percentage points over the 12 years of the show, but we'll get that dialed in. But anyway, if I have that ready for the next show, we'll talk about it. All right, that's it. I'm going to get into the content. That's what you guys are here for, not hearing me crying about my family life. Anyway, thanks again for being patient on Monday. So let me save. We'll get rid of that. Now, the topic of today's show is, I guess we're going to call it ISP bashing. I'm frustrated, very much so, because we've lost something big. There was a court ruling. And we've really lost something big here. And I thought I had it as the first article up. But what has essentially happened is, remember that the Muni broadband, the FCC made some rulings where Muni broadband was allowed to expand. The states weren't allowed to, you know, put them in a box. And, you know, many states had legislated so that the Muni broadbands could not expand or could not continue to grow. And the big proponents of that, the folks that were trying to keep that from happening, was the internet service providers. They fought hand and nail to stop Muni broadband from expanding. I'm a big Muni broadband fan because I've seen what Muni broadband has been able to do to many communities across the country, including the community that is closest to where I grew up, where there was no broadband. It's a city of 12 to 15,000 people. No major cable provider was coming in. There was no way people were going to get high-speed internet until the municipality did it. And they had high-speed internet 20 years ago. Great speeds at great prices. And today, it's the same thing in that community. Great speeds at great prices. That's in southern Michigan. No other cable provider has come in and provided any, you know, Time Warner or Cox or any of these other big companies have come in and offered internet. So Muni broadband has been the savior for many, many communities. Well, an appeals court has basically slapped down the FCC ruling, and this is a huge loss for Muni broadband and a big win for Cox, Time Warner, Charter, and basically being able to shut down expansion of municipality broadband. Some of you are in states, Mississippi, Tennessee, where it's more or less going to stifle the ability for some of you to get high-speed internet that would maybe have only been brought in by the municipality. And so if your state is affected by this Muni broadband loss, you know, you need to get on your doggone phones and on your text and on your emails and start blasting your state legislature. There are a number of Republicans in Congress that are just tickled pink over this ruling, and big win. And I understand states have their own independent state rights, and I understand states have their own state laws, and there's supposed to be some separation here, the way the United States is laid out. Right, we've got 50. United States, who are not supposed to have undue legislation put upon them by the federal government. We all know that is part of the Constitution, Bill of Rights, all that stuff, right? So what we what we're facing now is the only way we're going to be able to fix this is if the state legislatures are influenced by the voters to allow muni broadband to expand. If you're happy with Charter, Time Warner, all those folks providing you broadband services and waiting for them to bring you broadband services, then don't do anything. Okay? If you're not, if you're as frustrated as many people I know that listen to this show are, you need to go on the warpath. You need to get politically active and start raising hell. You need to start getting mad and saying, why are you stopping this? If it's not, if you're not affected in these states, please think about your brothers and sisters and neighbors and cousins and aunts and uncles and Grandpa Tommy and whoever is in your circle that is stuck on slow speed internet, that it lives in a municipality that should be able to get high speed. Please think about them if you're not affected. And you know, this is the same thing for rural America too. They're even a worse spot. You know, there's no way Muni's going to be able to go out into the countryside. But companies like Google and stuff, who are trying to expand some Wi-Fi options, maybe, and we're going to talk about that here in a few minutes. Maybe they will be able to help at some point. But we're not there. Now, to lead into the next piece of this I want to talk about today, Charter's first action as the new owner of Time Warner was to freeze the company's ongoing max broadband upgrades. Now, I'm fortunate. I got one of those upgrades from Time Warner. I'm up to 300 megs. 300 megs down, 10 megs up. I could not be happier. So, instead of Time Warner, allowing Time Warner to continue upgrades to 300 megabits, Charter is going to instead, now this is what happens when companies become monopolies. And when these acquisitions happen the way they are, Charter will instead focus on expanding its own slower options, a $60, 60 megabits per second connection, a $100, 100 megabit tier. So nothing's getting cheaper, and I'm afraid they're going to roll my speeds back. I don't know how they can take it away, but they may come out with new rate changes. Maybe I'll be grandfathered in. I don't know. But if you're on Time Warner and you were thinking about going to higher speed and it's still offered in your community, you better pick up the phone today. Customers are going to get slower speeds than they may have if the merger had never happened at all. Charter defended this move by criticizing Time Warner Cable and Bright House for formally offering too many promotions. So very conservative, very, very conservative Charter now is rolling back stuff. So what Charter's going to do instead, they're going to come out with a new box, their Spectrum box, new digital cable offerings, new channel offerings, new stuff that's for your TV offerings. Not more internet offerings, more content offerings. I'm blown away. And I'm in a area where I have two choices. I have Hawaiian Telecom and I have Time Warner. And Hawaiian Telecom is not near as fast and as reliable as Time Warner has been. So they are killing broadband upgrades. Can you absolutely even comprehend that? Simply amazing to me. It's absolutely, and it's what it is bad business model. So if you're a Time Warner customer, you need, I'm telling you, please listen to me. You need to get on the phone. Find out what's available. If you're happy with your speed that you're at now, great, but we're all geeks. Data stuff is increasing, HD video, 4K, all this is coming. Get your higher tiers in now before they, if they haven't cut them off already in your area. And I want to hear from the Time Warner customers. Call today. Just do me a favor, call, or go on your local Time Warner website, find out what's available. Here in Hawaii, it's Oceanic Time Warner. That's how the relationship is, and it'll change. But Oceanic's a company that started in Hawaii before Time Warner acquired them. But in your area, make the call to your local office and find out what's available. Report in, please. I want the Ohana here to let me know what's available in your area, what's been cut off. And if you're another carrier, Cox, or you know, whoever else you're with, let us know what your top speeds are available at your house, all right? There's a Associated article of our network world by a gentleman by the name of Steve Patterson, who I could not agree more with. He's doing a rant on America Broadband, what's wrong with you? And I find this a lot. I'll do interviews, or I'm doing a new series here on Saturdays called Podcast Legends, and it's where I'm interviewing luminaries in the podcasting space for a new podcast series that are going to basically going back to the beginning of podcast time and interviewing those folks that were involved in that. And a lot of those folks cannot do video. They can do audio Skype calls, but they can't do video. But the funny thing is, a couple of the people I've talked to internationally are no problem doing video. And I do a lot of video calls a week, mostly in the early morning here in Hawaii. I start meetings at 5 a.m. And I'll do 5, 6, 7, 8 video calls a week. And a lot of times talking to people here in the United States, they can't do video because they don't have enough bandwidth. And then he goes on a rant about this, talking about how U.S. broadband doesn't even make the top 10 list. We've talked about this many, many times. So if you look at the top 10 right now, South Korea, Norway, Sweden, Hong Kong, Switzerland, Latvia, Japan, Netherlands, Czech Republic, Finland. The Czech Republic has faster broadband than we do. If you just go through the United States, where are we ranked? Way down the list. And I just don't get it. You know, I really, really don't. So he's got a good rant about this speed. And in here you've got Charter wanting to stifle. Oh, here's the article I wanted to talk about earlier that I ad-libbed on. I did have it in the stack in the right place. And here was the title of the article, ISP and FCC Republicans celebrate FCC's court loss on muni broadband. FCC critics glad the commission can't preempt state laws. So, it's not a great day for us here in the U.S. for broadband. It really isn't. And we need to have broadband access for all, not just for people like me that are in a residential area where there's lots of density to be able to get high-speed internet where they upgrade it on a regular basis. We need broadband for everyone on the fringe. And we need broadband for those in rural areas. It's possible. How come we don't have it? They have to pay through the nose. Go look at HughesNet and find out how much my sister's paying per month for satellite connectivity and the bandwidth limitations she has. All right, I'm done ranting. Going to move on to another topic. One that has drifted a little bit out of the news, but oh boy, there is new news. it's being reported that the DNC hack was much bigger than we thought. Sources have told the New York Times that over 100 officials and groups had their private email accounts breached, and the primary targets appear to include Hillary Rodham Clinton's campaign officials. The Democratic Governors Association may also have been affected. As a result, the FBI is widening its investigation. Authorities begin reaching out to Democratic officials to tell them that their accounts may have been compromised. Now, a little thing popped up the other day. The leader of WikiLeaks. Did you hear about this? The leader of WikiLeaks said that he didn't say it exactly, but he insinuated that the person who provided the some of the information was the same individual who was recently killed. So, he was killed and not robbed. And yet, Julian Assange says he's the guy. Or he implied he's the guy. He didn't come out and say exactly he was the guy that provided the information. And everyone's been saying the Russians have doing it, repercussions are going to do it. I'm going to tell you, and maybe Julian Assange is trying to get the heat off the Russians. But I keep saying it's some kid from Jersey, right? That's what I said in the beginning, right? That ends up being the person that did this is a, I don't have this article up. Let me see if I can find. I think his last name, Julian Assange, and DNC email leaker. That should find it. Again, he hints that Seth Rich, who was a 27-year-old DNC, a Democrat staffer, who was shot multiple times and not robbed at 4:20 a.m. near his home in Washington, D.C., where no homicides have been reported within 1,500 feet, have stirred WikiLeaks founder to offer a $20,000 reward for information leading to the conviction. But it's Assange's comments during a Dutch TV interview. He hinted that Rich, who was in charge of DNC voter expansion data, was the email leaker and his death was politically motivated assassination. Police in Washington tight-lipped about the Rich investigation, but have suggested they believe the crime was a robbery, yet his wallet and phone and nothing was taken. There have been 77 homicides in Washington in 2016. Rich's death is the only one recorded in the last year within 1,500 feet of where he was killed. So that's really not that, if there was a death 1,500 feet from his house in D.C. in the last year, that's still pretty close. That's less, that's a quarter of a mile. Less than a quarter mile. But why would Assange issue a $20,000 reward for mission leading to conviction for the murder of the DNC staffer? Police have no witnesses, no suspects, and no motive. I'm going to tell you, I'm not a conspiracy theorist. Well, yes, I am at this point. A lot of death and destruction left behind during political campaigns. Some people say, "Oh, you're just, you have a fantasy there, Todd." Well, where there's smoke, there's usually fire. And if it turns out that this guy was, of course, Julian Assange says, "Oh, we don't reveal our sources." Well, if the guy's dead, does he have a right to protect him now? Or again, was he trying to do this and point away from the Russians? I am sure everyone that likes to stick their head in the sand will say, "Oh, this is just a conspiracy. There's no proof." Yet you know, this is not the first death in recent days of someone that's related to campaign or doing stories about the Democrats and the campaign. And I know many of you are on that side of the fence, so I'd love to hear what you guys have to say. Doesn't it make you go, just a little bit? Or is it just pure, absolute coincidence? What do you guys, you know, it sure makes your eyebrows raise, doesn't it? Just a little bit? Guy that's doing a book, doing a story on, or had done a book and story on Hillary Clinton is now dead too. It just makes you go, a lot. So God forbid that this is actually, you know, let's just say it's not happening. It sure is a lot of coincidental stuff over the past 20 or 30 years. All right. You're all saying you're getting too deep, Todd. But, you know, it's still concerning. You're regardless. I don't care if you're political leaning. I don't care if you're right or left. And if someone has some good conspiracy stuff on the Republican side, let me know, too. We'll share that. We'll be equal opportunity bashers. None of the above. All right. On a more technical note, Facebook ads have been defeated again by AdBlock Plus workaround. Just 2 days after Facebook found a way to sneak ads past ad blocking software, the ad blockers have struck back. AdBlock Plus, one of the best known tools for blocking ads on the internet, claims a workaround that can defeat the Facebook advertising, and that Facebook people are pissed. We're disappointed. The ad blocking companies are punishing. Oh, this is what they're doing now to us, folks. They're punishing us, punishing people on Facebook as these new attempts don't just block ads, but also post from friends and pages. As you expect, we're disappointed. Ad blocking companies are punishing people on Facebook as these new attempts don't just block ads, but also post from friends and pages, reads Facebook statement. Now, the AdBlock Plus communications manager said if they are classifying ads as normal content, it would appear they have an issue on their end. So if, that's the question here. Are they inserting stuff that is in our news feeds and so forth that is an ad that we don't know it? When I pay for a promoted post, are they... I haven't even looked at that. I need to find out because I pay for a promoted post from time to time. On my page, not my personal page, but my Geek News Central page. So I would assume that's getting blocked too. But I don't feel sorry. Be honest with you, they've been abusing us for years. They really, really have. Okay, you have a VW. Man, the hits keep on coming. VW is not going to survive some of the stuff that's going on. With $40 worth of parts and a bit of reverse engineering, you can enter, yes, get into nearly every Volkswagen that's been sold over the past 21 years. And it's just a little sniffer app that takes a look at the signal being sent out by your key fob. And it copies that and duplicates it, and then walk up to your vehicle, and then click, click, and they can unlock your car for $40. It can be done with an Adreno board and with a radio receiver, which costs about $40. Researchers discovered a method after reverse engineering a specific Volkswagen component. They're able to extract a single cryptographic key value shared among millions of Volkswagen vehicles. Holy smokes. Oh, they need to be about 300 feet from you when you unlock your car. The scope of this is really ridiculous. So, if you have a VW car and you're parking somewhere unsecure and you're leaving a package in, like, a computer or a bag or shopping, stuff that you bought at the mall, your vehicle can now be unlocked with $40 worth of hardware and someone with just a little patience. ever go to your car to put something in the car so you could walk around in the mall a little bit longer and pick up, do more shopping? I think we've all done that, right? We've taken stuff to the car and put it in the trunk. Well, in the VW now, they wait, you know, they sniff your key lock. They go down through the aisles, find your vehicle, unlock the door. The alarm doesn't go off because they've disarmed it with the unlock. And take your stuff out of your trunk, shut the lid, relock the vehicle. Yep. Boy, the hits keep coming. Rumor going around that Twitter was going to shut down in 2017. Twitter very quickly said that's ridiculous. It does sound like a pretty ridiculous rumor. A little more Twitter news. Twitter secretly filtered abusive tweets during President Obama's Q&A. So sources have told BuzzFeed that Twitter employees quietly filter tweets with abusive language for a Q&A session with the president and potentially another session with celebrity Caitlyn Jenner. A former senior Twitter employee says that during a May 2015 Ask POTUS event, then CEO Dick Coslow told employees to use an algorithm to filter out abusive tweets, and another source says that they had a team manually remove messages that slipped through. The decision was allegedly made without telling higher-level members of Twitter in order to avoid objections, but we may have seen a similar kind of filtering before in 2014 as the automated system appeared to be blocking anti-Semitic slurs tweeted as British Parliament member Luciana Berger had a Twitter session. So, trolls on the internet can be pretty doggone mean. So I understand the reasoning for it. Saved a few people's visit from the Secret Service. All right. This next one you're just absolutely going to love. So how valuable is a exploit into OS X? What do you think the value of an exploit would be? Well, we know that Apple are starting their bounty program to select, not everyone, to select individuals, pay them $200,000 for a high-level security breach. Well, an exploit broker is offering $500,000 for iOS bugs. $500,000. The broker says, the exploit trader says that that's what it's worth. He wants exploits for software including Apple iOS, Google Chrome, Microsoft Edge, and Adobe Flash. The company will pay $500,000 for the most dangerous bugs in Apple iOS 9.3 and above. And researchers can choose to take a lump sum or similar payments, which continue rolling as long as the exploit is still alive. Exodus is willing to pay researchers by check, wire transfer, Western Union, or even Bitcoin. Because an additional $500,000 coming into your bank account can probably flag the federal government to come look at exactly what you're doing. You have $500,000 show up in your bank account. And that's probably one of those automatic, doop, you go up to the, it just triggers. And the FBI, next thing you know, they're knocking on your door. Where did you get that $500,000? What did you do to get that? Can we come and bring the drug sniffing dogs into your premises? And you try to say, well, I sold a iOS exploit to a broker. is that even legal? But that's interesting, yeah. $500,000 and Apple's only willing to pay $200,000. $300,000 extra dollars for to sell it to the broker. You know where those exploits are going. All right, a little bit of space mystery here, and we're gonna get serious. Here's the headline: mysterious object discovered in strange orbit beyond Neptune. So strange, in fact, that the orbit of it, stuff normally orbits, in the same direction that we travel, right? And it's basically in a counterclockwise orbit. They're calling it a goofy orbit. And the orbit suggests that there's more going on in the outer solar system than we're fully aware of. That lonely stretch of space out past Neptune was in the news, of course, just last month, when a new dwarf planet called 2015 R245 was discovered. So now they've got some objects out there that are orbiting Neptune, basically going the wrong way. Sometimes you read a headline and think, that's just makes you go, someone just waiting out there to come pay us a visit or what? But no one knows why it's spinning around the sun backwards. Again, does it go all the way out to the sun? I guess it does. But anyway, I don't fully understand how common that is, but definitely makes you go, All right, Audi's new suspension tech can generate electricity from movement. So, you know, if they're driving on Hawaii roads, they're going to have no problem powering their vehicle from the kinetic energy produced by this new suspension, because the roads here, they just beat a vehicle up. And matter of fact, it's like driving a sports rally and, you know, trying to miss all the potholes here. They've been paving a lot of roads, but it's not fast enough. Our vehicles are getting beat up. As a matter of fact, on my getting brakes done this past weekend, I was told probably going to need shocks and struts here my next go around. So thank you, Hawaii Roads. But anyway, this new suspension assembly, every time you get a little bit of a bounce on the suspension, it creates electricity. So that eventually will be making it into vehicles. And also, some dude that loves his Xbox One turned it into a laptop. A little pet project. I don't know why one would want to do that, but just, you know, geeks are geeks and they're going to do stuff cool. So he did a laptop mod hack to put this together. And he's got the most heaviest, more power intensive, probably heat intensive laptop known to man. But, yep, if you want to take a look at it, there's a little video. You can check it out. Very, very cool. And leave it up to geek ingenuity to do this kind of stuff, all right? Okay, the Google FCC filing, hints at high-speed wireless plans. The request for experimental authorization in the 3.5 gigahertz band is been requested by the FCC to do testing in 24 cities, including San Francisco, Mountain View, California, Boulder, Colorado, Omaha, Nebraska. So 24 different areas, I guess, in those cities. And they're going to be doing no open test to the public. Going to be working with contractors and partners. So if you can't get them by fiber, get them by wireless. Go Google. If you are, if you use Windows on a variety of different products, ARM systems or RT devices, there is a little bit of a concern right now that two security researchers who go by the handles of Never Released and the Wackalian on Twitter recently announced a blog post that malicious actors can bypass the Windows Secure Boot feature on vulnerable machines and devices. And this is an exploit that really is not an exploit. It was essentially a hole was left open for developers to do testing. And I guess they never closed the hole after they released Windows, but this has been going on for a while. And there is a significant concern on certain devices that malware and rootkits and all kinds of stuff could be installed, and it could be considered valid. A valid software, a valid driver. And this is not good at all for some devices. And it's basically Windows has left the front door open for a certain number of devices. So I have that link up in the show notes. All right, this next article is by far the most exciting thing I have read in a long, long time. And if any of you have family members who are paraplegics, please, you need to share this article immediately with that family member and figure out how you can get into this trial or whatever they're doing. But patients long paralyzed from spinal cord injuries have showed unprecedented gains in mobility and feeling, and in some cases, renewed sexual activity through virtual training and the use of brain-controlled robotics, scientists said Thursday. Six men and two women who had completely lost the use of their lower limbs all made significant progress through virtual reality. In four cases, doctors were able to upgrade their status to partial paralysis, an unheard level improvement, using non-invasive techniques. One of them, a 32-year-old woman paralyzed for more than a decade, may experience the most dramatic transformation. At the outset of the trial undertaken at a clinic in Sao Paulo, Brazil, she was unable to stand even with the help of braces. Within 13 months, she could walk with the help of braces and a therapist and could produce walking motion while suspended from a harness. So what they've done, this therapy combines several techniques to stimulate parts of the brain that once controlled the patient's long inactive limbs. The underlying but still unproven theory is that the process provokes changes not only in the brain but in the damaged spinal cord as well. So in the trials, the rehabilitation began by learning how to operate a digital doppelganger or avatar within a virtual reality environment. At the same time, patients wore snug caps lined with 11 electrodes to record their brain activity through EEG. Initially, when they were asked to imagine walking with immersed in a 3D world, the parts of the brain associated with motor control of the legs failed to light up. If you said use your hands, there was brain activity, but the brain almost completely erased representation of the lower limbs. After months of training, these long dormant parts of the brain started to wake up. At that point, the patients graduated more challenging equipment that required some control over their posture, balance, and ability to use upper limbs, including overhead harnesses common in the physical therapy centers that carries the body's weights. So they use exoskeleton robotics. So in the end, what they've done is they've found a way to reawaken parts of the brain and find signals through parts of the spinal nerves to be able to get some mobility, not mobility, but some reactions. So they feel over time, training with the brain machine interface could have rekindled these nerves. This is stunning. I'll leave it up for you guys to go through it all. The link will be in the show notes. And, you know, having had a family member, and sadly, you know, my family member died. She was paralyzed from the waist down and through complications of the paralysis died. And so if you have a family member who is paralyzed, this sounds really encouraging. It's retraining the brain. Very, very cool stuff. You know those new secure credit cards we have? Well, maybe not so secure. There's an ATM hack and a pin pad hack and a variety of things to be able to, basically get around the security environment. Link will be up in the show notes on that. Not surprising. They make a move, we make a move, they make a move, we make a move. Apple has been approving a patent for a wearable heart reader, and the device could be worn either on the wrist or another part of the body. And what they're really trying to do is they're trying to do an ECG, electrocardiogram. The wearable that they've patented is capable of performing electrocardiograms to measure the heart's rhythm and could allow Apple to tap into $148 billion U.S. market for medical devices. It also serves as a logical progression from the Apple Watch and remains a product that has kickstarted the idea of wearing bits of connected technology. Now, here's the thing I want you all to think about. Been to the doctor? Been warned that your cholesterol is a little high? Have you had to go on a aspirin a day regimen? Are you walking heart attack? A number of you out there, I know you're taking an aspirin a day. Know your cholesterol is a little high, right? My cholesterol is a little high. Notoriously, in the past, it had been notoriously low. Not getting enough exercise? I can raise my hand too, right? Well, what if you could wear something that basically was monitoring you 24/7 and you start getting a little trouble? Might be the difference between having the Widowmaker or even detecting if there's some issues and basically alert your doctor. We all know we're supposed to be eating better. We're all supposed to be exercising. We're all supposed to be eating a lot more vegetables. You know, we all know we're supposed to do these things. And the majority of us don't do them. So, and this isn't going to be a replacement, but it may make folks that are at risk have some sort of device that may give them a little bit of warning that something's coming on. Or maybe even detect a heart, you know, a lot of heart attacks go undetected. Someone feels they got a little indigestion, they work through it, and say 3 or 4 or 5 hours later, I'm good. Yet, they've actually just had a heart attack, and they didn't know, but if they're wearing an ECG-capable ring or brooch, they might be able to see if there's a little cardiac issue going on. And may say, hey, you need to go to the doctor, dude. You know, maybe you've got, an artery or something that's getting a little clogged up. Have a little incident. You know, if you're not doing the right thing, at least maybe you can be monitored so that when the symptoms of your pending, you know, Widowmaker happens, you're able to get to the doctor and live to tell another day, right? Or live to another day. I guess that's a better word for it. So this stuff is exciting where we're headed here. All right, No Man's Sky Travel Diary, Day 3, a very bad day in space. So, you know, I've been hearing so much about No Man's Sky. I'm afraid to even try it because if I do load this game, it probably cause more hate and discontent here at the house. So I don't dare. If anybody's playing this, I'd love to hear how you like it. Hey, see, and I will have the link up to this guy's progress in this game. Seagate's new 60-terabyte SSD, the world's largest, has been brought onto market. No word on price. 60 terabytes. In a 5.5, or actually a 3.5 form factor. Wow. Wow, 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 wow. Power efficiency, 4 terabyte per watt of power. You can reach 1 petabyte of storage with only 17 of these drives. Who knows how much they're going to cost? I'm sure they're going to be insane. They're probably going to be around $10,000. But 60 terabytes in a single drive? Unbelievable. Oh, you live in Florida? You live somewhere where Zika is of concern? Many places of the country? The CDC has a Zika prevention kit. So what they want you to start buying is standing water treatment tablets to kill mosquitoes, something called a permethrin, P-E-R-M-E-T-H-R-I-N spray, and it's odorless and it repels and kills mosquitoes. And this is a commonly essential mosquito protection, and it's commonly sprayed onto bed nets. This is not for the skin, but this could be for, for clothing and so forth. A 6.5-ounce can costs $6, and that will treat 2 outfits for 2 weeks. So it's not cheap, all right? A bed net. So if you live in a mosquito-prone area, you just like we buy bed nets for sometimes in places that used to travel in the military. But you can have a bed net to prevent from being bit at night. of course, insect repellent for when you're out and about. And the final thing is condoms. And for those of you that are single out there and just, you know, that's a, because Zika can be transmitted via sexual contact. So just be aware of that. Okay. So anyway, that's a CDC list. The link will be up in the show notes. T-Mobile customers now get free unlimited data in Brazil for the Paralympic Games. So that's cool. So I didn't know this was going on, but prior to the start of the Rio 2000 Olympics, T-Mobile announced its customers get free unlimited high-speed data in the country. And that will also include the Paralympic Games through September 18th. Okay. Next story is, we'll skip that one. Oh, hey, sysadmins out there, be aware of this new TCP flaw on Linux servers. This is a bad one. If you're the IT guy, you want to see this article from Softpedia. Probably already know about it by the announcement. It's been all over the internet today, but I'll have that link up in the show notes for you to check out. Also, do you have your own DSLR camera? Do you know how to clean your own DSLR sensor? Now, many folks send their cameras off to the manufacturer to have them cleaned. And a lot of pros do that, but there is a way to do it safely. You just have to follow the instructions carefully. All right. And there's a how-to video about 15 minutes over on lifehacker.com. Didn't know Virgin was working on a set-top box, but Virgin Media has got new set-top box called the Virgin TV V6. It's going to be running on TiVo software, and it's going to formally launch later than a year. No more details than that I have at this point. Also, if you are looking to do your own type of repairs on your Apple devices, you can get started as an Apple Care technician for $299. There's a course that's available on the Apple Store. If you're already employed at an Apple authorized service facility, you can get it to your workplace for free. But those of you that want to learn how to fix Mac products, it has a whole list of training materials, and it gives you information on breaking boxes down, repairing, and so forth. And you can become an Apple genius that pays an average of $20.62 an hour. If you get through this, good way to go apply to get a good job. $20 an hour, not bad for those of you that looking for some work. Especially if you're geeky, right? You know, let's face it, it's tough out there for non-college grads right now. If you go out there and you do that course and can show some semblance of competency, you can go into an Apple store and become an Apple Care genius. And yeah, $20.62, that beats flipping burgers for sure. Or whatever, minimum wage paying job you're in. I know that most places pay more than minimum wage at this point, but still $20.62, not bad. Not bad for an hourly job. Finally, DEA regularly mines Americans' travel records to seize millions in cash. Sometimes they seize people's cash without, they assume it's drug money, but they don't even charge people with it. So they look for people that are traveling one way. They have informants at all over the place. So the DEA is looking for this cash. It's moving around. Of course, if you're traveling internationally and you have more than $10,000, better declared, or they can take it away. Be ready to explain why you have that much cash on you. But they confiscated $52.3 million in 2015. And most of that money trickled down to the local law enforcement as part of the cash seizures. So, they had $209 million in cash from 5,200 people. So they hand them a receipt for the cash. People off they go. They probably go to their place that they were supposed to turn the drug money in and hand over the receipt. Maybe they live, maybe they don't. I don't know. But they don't get charged by the DEA in many cases, which is curious. I guess they figured we'll get them on the next run. All right. So let me, inner workings of our U.S. government. All right, did get some emails here. Timothy sent me an email. Hey, thanks, Timothy, a longtime listener of the show. He said, hey, Todd, check this cool video out. The dynamic range is incredible. And basically, NASA combines exposure of on the fly to create a high-speed 3D HDR video. And I will admit, the video was really wicked. Looks totally CGI. So thanks for sending that over, Timothy. I appreciate it. Also, a number of you sent me the Julian Assange link where he essentially said that the DNC staffer may have been murdered. I got that. I want to thank Mr. Dare. Thank you for sending over your, Mr. Fixer, for sending over your link. He said, hey, Todd, I'm sending this for Thursday's night show in just case you don't receive it 100 times from your Ohana. And this is about the Tesla autopilot, which drove its owner to a hospital after he suffered an embolism. So this is kind of a cool story. This is a make you feel good story based on all the you know, the bad things we've been hearing about Tesla so far. But apparently this guy discovered what was going on. He was, thanks to his car's autopilot feature, the car was able to find the road to a hospital, and he was able to check himself into an emergency room. So he had he determined he felt the symptoms. It initially started out as a sharp pain in his stomach, quickly moved up to his chest. He said it felt like a steel pull through my chest. It turned out to be a pulmonary obstruction. That's a blockage of a blood vessel in your lungs that can be fatal. And he had the car drive nearly 20 miles and turned it off into a road that led to a nearby hospital. He was able to manually steer the car into the hospital's parking lot and check himself in. So that's cool. So maybe these devices that Apple's going to come up with, we're going to wear one of these devices and we start to have a heart attack, the car's going to say, diverting to the emergency room. Or calling 911, one of the two, right? It is sometimes faster to drive yourself to the hospital. And if, you know, if you get there 5 minutes earlier and you're having a heart attack and it's not one of those that drops you to your knees and you're dead on the spot, you know, you might just survive it. So very, very cool. So thanks, Michael, so for sending that over. Okay. What else? Do I have more here? Let me look. I think so, because we missed Monday's show. I got an email from MS Small Biz. He says, hey, got to watch this on a large screen. You have to watch this on a large screen with full HD and the volume turned up. He says the original USS Enterprise model from the original series, 79 episodes, is fully restored for display. And it goes through the restoration. And, yeah, I saw this video. Very, very cool. I'll have the link up in the show notes for you. And let's see here. Also, here's another one. Hey, Todd, you've been covering self-driving vehicles on many of your podcasts. In my opinion, we are years, maybe decades away from developing CPU power and software that could ever perform this task in a safe manner. In the last episode, you mentioned self-driving trucks, but in that story, they clearly stated record well-marked roads. I don't know about Hawaii roads, but in most of the U.S. are rarely well-marked. What happens when DOT repaves a road and leaves those chalk markers for lines until they pay? What happens during rain when the road lines are virtually invisible? How about fog, snow, or any other obstruction to vision? This doesn't even start to delve into what it takes to be a driver that I see no way computer software could handle, and a CPU be able to process in the time required. When I drive, I'm aware of cars half a mile behind me and how they're driving, the type of car, the color modifications such as sporting wheels of a car which is cutting in and out of traffic behind me tells me to be aware of this driver long before he gets anywhere near me. Can a computer handle that? Not today, it can't. Have you ever driven in around states with large amounts of wildlife? Is a computer going to be able to decide that herd of deer on the side of the road a half mile ahead are a threat since they're just standing there? There are just far too many variables when we drive, thus why we have accidents. For a computer today to be able to handle, roads would have to be completely redesigned to handle self-driving cars. DOT can't keep the pothole fields or the bridge up to spec. The day we have roads ready for self-driving cars will be longer after we get to Mars, which is another pipe dream, in my opinion. I don't know if I agree. You look at what Tesla's already doing. If nothing else, there's going to be trucks that are going to have significant driver assist very, very soon. You're going to be able to be on the phone, watch a movie. So I just think that it's going to happen a lot sooner than we think it will. We'll see. Time will tell, yeah, on this. Okay, folks, I'm done. I'm a wrap. I'm pow here. I'm all finished. Thanks for being here. Thanks for being part of the Ohana. Thanks for listening to me rant and providing commentary. If you love the show, if you want to support it, please think about becoming an insider at geeknesscentral.com/insider. It's been my absolute pleasure to bring this show to you today. I hope that you share the show with your friends, family members, people that you know. Let's get out there and build an audience. And definitely, I want you in the Slack chat room for the Geek News Central Ohana. So send me that email, geeknews@gmail.com, say Slack, and I'll add you into the channel. That's all you need to do. It's easy peasy. And you get in and you can hang out with the cool kids, all right? All right, everybody, everyone take care. We'll see you next time here on the Geek News Central podcast. Take care. Aloha.